I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And a very first good morning to you. Live and local from our Green Tree Studios, my name is Matt Cole. I'll be with you till about 5:40. It is the Fan early morning show on this Monday morning. Hope you had a great weekend and a great weekend of watching a lot of football. Because if you watch baseball, God bless you, especially if you watch the local team, for sure. So hopefully it was a lot of football watching for you if you were consuming sports this weekend. But of course we know that the big one is tonight, the Pittsburgh Steelers starting the season against the New York Giants at scheduled to be 7:10. You know how those start times go, though. Who knows? Might not be till 7:30 and that ball actually kicks off. But Monday Night Football to get the season started. We'll do plenty of preview and looking at some matchups and what this game really comes down to wrap up the show today. But with the NFL's return and the return of football in general this weekend, wanted to start off with, you know, normally I do three big takeaways from the weekend, and I'll save that, I think, for tomorrow to do three big takeaways from the Steelers game. So instead, I'm going to expand it here to start off the show today. And because to just kind of celebrate the real return of sports in my mind, as far as like just jam-packed weekend. 10 observations from this weekend. And I'll roll through them rapid-fire style just to get us started and get us waking up this morning on a Monday morning. So here we go. This isn't in any order of importance, but just some things that I noticed from the past couple days. So number one, Aaron Rodgers called it one of the strangest experiences he's had in the NFL as he and his Packers beat the Vikings 43-34. Which I saw was a new combination of final scores in NFL history. That's never been done before, 43-34. And that was having no crowd, no fans in the stands. And it was a little weird to watch. That was the game over on Fox, at least for me. And maybe it was for you as well. Flipping back and forth between that and, of course, the Ravens and the Browns. I'll get to that here in a second. The crowd noise on Fox for that game was, I thought, a little bit more like a baseball crowd. It was just like a dim hum in the background, so definitely different there. And I think it's missing most in the big moments, the crowd, where they don't get genuine reactions to things because, you know, that's just not, you can't replicate something like that. Or even a play in which, you know, a ball goes off somebody's hands or there's almost an interception or whatever. You know, you don't get the instant reaction from what would be a crowd on hand. But I thought, overall, it is what it is. I mean, this is kind of what we've dealt with. We've got a little taste of it in baseball and through the other sports that have been on TV so far. And it doesn't necessarily impact my enjoyment of the game, at least in my mind. So, yes, strange, I'm sure, much more for the players than for the fans. Overall, though, I thought it would potentially be a bigger deal than it was. Number two, Thank God we're not Jets fans, or you're not a Jets fan. Maybe you are listening to this show today, and I apologize. I feel sorry. They took a couple L's yesterday. That Le'Veon Bell relationship just continues to get worse and worse. So he wasn't very good yesterday and ended up going out early with an injury. And then Adam Gase, the head coach, was talking about how he let him go back into the game yesterday and expressed remorse. Here we go with Adam Gase.
Hey, Jamal, what's it like on the sideline when you're watching Russ?
Nope, that's the wrong one. Here we go.
I'm mad at myself that I let him go back in there in the second half. That play looked bad. Like I saw, because I'm watching him, and I thought it was going to be a touchdown, and then he got grabbed, and then just kind of the way he kind of planted and torqued, it looked really bad. And I saw him grab his hamstring. I'm going, this is, he wouldn't come out. And then when we came in at halftime, I let him go back in there. I was worried about it. And I eventually was just like, dude, I can't put you in there. We can't take a chance of you getting more hurt than what you already are.
First of all, Bell didn't look good. I already mentioned that. And he's a bit injury prone. We know that from earlier in his career. I mean, it just doesn't seem like better days are ahead of Le'Veon Bell as a football player in general, and especially not with the New York Jets. And then listening to that Adam Gase clip, that's the head coach of the team right there saying that. Compare that to anything that Mike Tomlin has ever said or any other very competent NFL coach, and compare that to Adam Gase just fumbling and stumbling his way through how he shouldn't have kept him in and he feels bad and went through halftime and blah, 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 blah. And then the other L that they took yesterday was Jamal Adams, now with the Seattle Seahawks, took a shot at the Jets and into Greg Williams, their defensive coordinator. Williams said that he might get bored playing in a scheme that didn't use him the same way the Jets did. And then Adams just said this in his postgame.
Hey, Jamal, what's it like on the sideline when you're watching Russ, you know, throw it, chuck it around, and all those guys make plays and put up 38 points?
I'm not used to it, you know. It's exciting. You know, it's exciting to know when we do come off the field, we can, you know, definitely, you know, make our adjustments, catch a breather, you know, for us to go out there and do what he's always done. I'm just happy to be a part of this organization, man.
Continued disaster in New York. Let's hope that continues tonight with another New York team. Number three. So I think Austin Peay might be the worst Division I football in the country. They lost to D1AA Central Arkansas last week, 24-17, and put up absolutely no fight against Pitt. Pitt won 55-0 on Saturday. So I don't know how much we can really take away from it because Austin Peay is that bad. Pitt very rarely blows out anybody like that. Doesn't matter. It could be Youngstown State, could be Austin Peay, could be whoever. And that just doesn't happen with 55-0. So they're a new level of bad, the Governors of Austin Peay. Number four, going along with that, I think a group of playmakers for Pitt is going to have to be the way they go about things throughout the year, because that's another reason why I couldn't really tell much from this game is that there were a lot of people that contributed. Kenny Pickett, 14 of 20, 277 yards and a touchdown. He was efficient. He did well before being taken out. Vincent Davis, 11 carries, 43 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Israel Abanaconda coming in, the freshman, had a touchdown as well. A.J. Davis in the backfield. All those guys got multiple touches. Receiving-wise, there was Shockey Jacques-Louis, D.J. Turner, the transfer from Maryland, and Jordan Addison, I mean, 7 catches, 35 yards. So I don't know who's actually going to be a real playmaker for this Pitt offense. Maybe it's just going to be a parade of guys every single week. At least it looks that way after week one. Number five, I can't quite tell if the Browns are on their way to another 6-10 season or if the Ravens are going to dominate and win at least 12 games again. So for right now, I'm going to say that it's a little bit of both. The Browns, again, here we go with the hype from them in the offseason, and they just looked downright awful against Baltimore yesterday. I mean, Baker Mayfield looked like the same Baker Mayfield that he was last year. Even Nick Chubb was fumbling the ball in the backfield, and they couldn't get much going in the running game between him and Kareem Hunt. And then Lamar Jackson just had his way and was back to being peak, at least regular season, Lamar Jackson, from what we've seen from him. And that offense looked scary again, although Baltimore was crazy and letting him still be in that game. I believe it was until there was like 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They're up 38-6, and they still have Lamar in there, and he gets sacked and gets his leg rolled up on. That was incredibly dumb. But wasn't necessarily surprised by that result. Number six, and not really surprised by this one either, is that the Bungles are going to bungle. And if Joe Burrow didn't quite understand what he was up against before yesterday and getting into that organization, he knows now. I thought he played as well as he could have. He led them down the field late in the game when they were down 16-13, almost threw a game-winning touchdown in the corner of the end zone to A.J. Green, and also showed some athleticism as well, taking off up the middle of the field.
Here comes the quarterback, Burrow, looking for a block, and he got it up in the front by Hopkins into the end zone. Touchdown! What a scamper! Called his own number and streaks for 23 for a touchdown for Cincinnati.
I mean, he looked good. He's just going to have to overcome his own team's incompetence throughout the season. And I think he will get better. And I think the Bengals will end up winning 5 or 6 games and will look a lot better than they did yesterday by the end of the year. Number 7, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Of course, they didn't beat the New Orleans Saints, but it doesn't mean anything much bigger than that, I don't think. This was New Orleans featuring a very good defense, a very good team in general, against a team in Tampa Bay that had a lot of new parts without a preseason. And I think a lot of people are going to make definitive statements about Tom Brady losing his fastball today and looking old and throwing 2 picks and all of those different things. But I think it's week one in a year where there's been a lot of change in Tampa Bay and they'll still end up being a wild card team. So all of these flashy, trendy statements that you'll hear today, I think a lot of them are pretty overblown after 1 week. Number 8, the Pirates played this weekend. Number 9, the Patriots are what I thought they were going to be. Belichick schemed up runs for Cam Newton. Zone reads, quarterback keepers, option plays. Newton rushed for a team high 15 times for 75 yards and 2 touchdowns. Also adding in 155 yards through the air, 15 of 19 passing. They used him just as you're supposed to use Cam Newton when he's healthy. You run him a lot. Yes, he's going to take a lot of hits, but I don't really know how much long-term they want to keep Cam Newton around. So, hey, let him take the hits and let him be effective in running the ball. And don't let him pass more than 20 times a game. 15 of 19, 155 yards. They also had 5 running backs that combined for 217 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's how New England's going to win games this year. Going to run the ball a lot. No throws to the outside, just over the middle for Cam Newton. And I think Bill Belichick's going to coach them up to 10 wins and a wild card appearance. And then number 10 from this weekend is that Russell Wilson started his what I think will be an MVP campaign with a near perfect game against the Falcons. And it was 38 to 25, over Atlanta. 31 of 35 for Russ, 322 yards, 4 touchdowns. He was also their leading rusher, although he only had 29 yards. But the Seahawks are my pick to get the top seed out of the NFC, and I think it is because Russell Wilson carries them. And I think his ceiling will be much higher than Jimmy G's and Kyle Shanahan's out in San Francisco. I think he'll win out over Kyler Murray in Arizona, even though they'll be much improved, and they look good beating San Francisco yesterday. And I do think that it's Seattle riding high for 13, 10, 12 wins and getting that number one seed in the NFC, and Russell Wilson showed why yesterday. All right, coming up next, some late-night football action between the Cowboys and Rams that I'll recap, as well as the NHL and the NBA playoffs. And then to end the show today, full-on Steelers-Giants. How did the Steelers fare on Monday nights and also in season openers against Mike Tomlin, and some keys to this game tonight at 7:10 from MetLife Stadium. That's all next. It's the early morning show right here on 93.7 The Fan. Welcome in. It is the early morning show, bright and early here on this Monday morning, 5:20 a.m. And if you're up this early, you probably missed at least most of the game from last night, Sunday Night Football. Let's review it.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
First of all, let's just get out of the way the elephant in the conversation, and that is the LA Rams uniforms are just awful. I mean, look like you created them in a video game and you were, you know, creating a new franchise on Madden, and they gave you those generic uniform, you know, options. That's the LA Rams now. They have completely botched that. It just looked awful. And those shiny numbers on the jerseys that were falling off by the end of the game. I saw there was a picture of Aaron Donald on the sideline, and his, you know, both of his nines in the front of his jersey were peeling off by the end of it. But anyway, the LA Rams actually, when they went out and played football, were better than the Dallas Cowboys, even if it was just a little bit. And this is, again, what the Dallas Cowboys are, and I'm not surprised. A lot of hype again and a lot of flashiness with big-time names, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper and now CeeDee Lamb into the mix, Michael Gallup. And they end up losing 20-17 last night. They did have a shot late, though, down by that score. And here was a play down the sideline, Prescott to Gallup. And here's what happened on the Cowboys radio network.
Third and 10 at his own 34. Prescott back to throw deep down the left side. Gallup 25, 20 to the 15.
Yeah, this one's coming back. Michael Gallup pushed off. Yeah, no question on Ramsey.
He
created that separation. So you can have a third and 20 here, Brad Chan.
Oh, well. Oh, yeah, he did. Saw it again.
No question.
57-yard completion to Gallup.
Offense, number 13.
Oh, well, they screwed that up. So much for that. And the Cowboys lose the first game of the year to the Rams. Jared Goff, 20 of 31, 275 yards. No touchdowns and a pick. Malcolm Brown had a couple of rushing touchdowns for the Rams. And then Robert Woods with 6 catches for 105 yards. Ezekiel Elliott did well for Dallas. Had a couple of touchdowns, one rushing and one receiving. But it seems like things are just about the same for Dallas in that loss to the Rams last night. All right, coming up next, Steelers-Giants. Let's be honest here. This all is coming down to one thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight, and that's next. Jam-packed fan morning show coming for you this morning, 6:30. A familiar voice, I was going to say face, but it's a voice, because it's the radio, you know. Ramon Foster, who is now the co-host of J-Mart and Ramon on, what is that, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. He's doing his own morning show out in Nashville now, but he joins the show at 6:30 before his show out there to talk a little Steelers. 8 o'clock today, another former Steeler, Arthur Motes, joins the show. And then at 8:30, it is Paul Schwartz from the New York Post for a Giants look at things. We'll also have sounds from the other side, the odds and ends segments, all those fun little things that we do on normally a football Friday before a Steelers matchup. That's all coming your way today on the Fan Morning Show after this. And let's be honest here. The Steelers have no business losing this game. They don't. Their defense is so much better than the other unit on the other side offensively. And the Giants' defense doesn't really scare anybody either. Mike Tomlin said, I think last year against New England in week one, before that game, that obviously didn't work out so well, a 33-3 loss, but he said that it is more about what they do than what the opponent does, that they have to hit their marks and do the things that they do well. And I think more so now this year than what it was last year, that is definitely the case. Because if the Steelers are doing everything that they know how to do and do well, then it's enough to win this game. And that wasn't necessarily the case last year against New England. They did need to worry about what they were doing on the other side. Here's how this game can be a disaster. I see two things. The first is if this guy runs rampant.
Be a special interior running back. I don't want to just be a special outside of box running back, catch the ball here and there. I truly believe that, you know, with my God-given ability and the work that I put in, that I can be special in all phases.
And that man, of course, is Saquon Barkley, now fully healthy. If he runs over and runs past Devin Bush and Minka Fitzpatrick, then that's a problem. And obviously, he would take over the game if that is happening consistently throughout it. And defensively as well, I think Daniel Jones does have some mobility, quarterback for the Giants, but that offensive line ranked 20th before the season began by Pro Football Focus, and it's a young and inexperienced line, at least together. And they spent two of their first three picks this year in the draft on the offensive line, including fourth overall pick Andrew Thomas. And so that those factors alone should be enough for the Steelers to be able to exploit them in what should be one of the league's top pass rushes. And also, if you pay attention to a lot of what Pro Football Focus does and what they think and what they evaluate and put these numbers to things, it's anytime there are a lot of new faces on an offensive line that always has a negative effect. And that's what's going on with the Giants this year. Evan Engram, I think, could also be a problem. The tight end for the Giants. He's very effective when he's healthy. He's just not healthy very often. But he is coming into this game healthy and into this season healthy. He caught 44 passes in just 6 starts last year. So that's averaging over 7 per game. And Devin Bush, me saying that now with Evan Engram and Saquon Barkley, Devin Bush is going to be a huge factor to this game for the Steelers. He's going to have to be really good and it's going to be really tested from the very beginning. Offensively, I think Juju gets at least 10 targets tonight because Ben is most familiar with him because he's got the most history with him, the most years of success. And because Deontay Johnson, although he did practice fully on Friday, I'm not all that convinced that he's 100% fully there, fully ready to go, even though he might be out there tonight and most likely will be out there tonight. I don't think it's the same Deontay Johnson. And so I think more targets go Juju's way because of that. And this is the other way I see this becoming a disaster for the Steelers, is that if there's early turnovers. And Ben Roethlisberger talked about this, not necessarily turning the ball over, but just new players in his offense earlier this week. And I think it's beyond just quarterback speak.
I'm more worried about myself than I am the other guys. I think, I have to manage myself, right, as the quarterback, the guy that's handling the ball every play, making sure we're in the right play, not trying to do too much.
It is mostly about Ben. When it all comes down to it, it's whether Ben is good or not, whether he's rusty or not, whether he is the same Ben that we saw before, or if it takes a while for him to get going and to be himself again and to get used to game speed, especially for tonight's game. And I think it is down to the Steelers not completely shooting themselves in the foot and with Ben being Ben again, because they should not lose this game any other way. The Steelers in the last 5 season openers against Mike Tomlin, this is a little bit concerning to me. Back in 15, they lost to New England 28-20. 16, beat up on Washington 38-16. And then the past 3 years, especially, are a little concerning. They beat Cleveland 21-18. Then in 2018, they tied with the Browns. Remember that disastrous game? 21-all. And then last year, of course, the 33-3 walloping to the hands of New England. So they don't necessarily get off to the best start to the season. And they absolutely do show some rust, if we're looking at history here. 2017, there was a big play by AB down the sidelines. Just kind of a chuck the ball up and let him go get it play. And he did. That ended up getting them the win. Then in 18, it was rain-soaked. It was nasty. But they had plenty of opportunities to beat the Browns. and the Browns had Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. That was before Baker Mayfield even came onto the scene. And then New England, they just flat out got blown out. So that concerns me a little bit, and I do think we'll see some of that rust and some of that sloppiness in the first half. Ryan Scarpino, former employee of the Steelers, tweeted this out. Under Mike Tomlin, the Steelers are 16-2 overall and have won 9 straight on Monday Night Football. And so all of those things about season openers are directly contrasted to those Monday Night Football stats. That's the most wins and the highest win percentage on Monday night in the league since 2007. And their last loss on Monday night was back in early September of 2013 at Cincinnati, when things were much different. I think the Steelers get better as the game goes on, but again, it will be a sloppy first half. Maybe something like 10-7 or 10-3 at halftime. The Steelers up, or maybe even down. Who knows? But I think it'll be a low-scoring, tight game after the first half. But eventually, that Steelers defense will stiffen up to win. They'll create a turnover at some point that'll be huge to flip the field, and they'll allow that offense to get back out there to figure some things out. I think Ben has a respectable stat line at the end of the day. I don't think it's something that blows your socks off. And James Conner goes for just over 100 total yards. And I'll say the Steelers win this one 24-13 and avoid just killing themselves on the way to a loss and what would be a very, very disappointing one to start the year. All right, let's wrap up the show today with this.
Gone in 40 seconds. One last 40-second take to send you into the rest of the morning on the Early Morning Show. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
And before it all starts tonight for the Steelers, I'm reminded for things at stake. That Ben Roethlisberger is going into his age 38 season with who knows how many seasons left. The Steelers have done a great job through almost 10 first-round picks of building up a defense they can win a Super Bowl with that should be elite. That if there are no playoffs, that would be 3 straight years without. And barring something catastrophic happening to Ben to cause that, Mike Tomlin's seat, as much as they love him as a leader and CEO type for this organization, his seat should be very hot. But here's to hoping we don't have to go down that road and that tonight is the start of at least a 10-win season, uninterrupted, that results in the return of January football. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, mostly sunny, less humid this afternoon, a high of 74. And then tonight, clear and cooler in a low of 47. The pre-show, it's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.